This is Life Change Weekend. Welcome to Dino Padron Ministries interview program, which highlights the life-changing message of Jesus Christ in action. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 states, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And now, to introduce his guest, here's Dr. Dino Padron.
Life Change Weekend. Thank you for listening in to our program. There's a big world out there, isn't there? I mean, a big world. I've had the privilege of traveling to, I think it's close to 40 countries, and been to most of the states preaching. And everywhere I go, I find different kinds of people, different concepts in people, different ways to live and different ways to do things. And yet I find one thing is very true. Everybody has a need of having connection. Anywhere in the world, people need to be connected. Loneliness is like a huge depression. And so today, we want to talk about worldwide missions and what really helps people in worldwide missions. And of course, most of you listening into the program know it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, having the gospel change our lives. And our dear friend and international director, Rick Ramsey, is on with us today to talk about this whole idea of reaching the world with worldwide missions. I encourage you to get the book that I have written called The Beginning. It's a book that's kind of a missions book, but also it's a historical teaching of how Christianity began. We begin with Jesus out there in the Sea of Galilee walking with a group of kind of vagabond people. They're his disciples. Who would ever thought they'd have turned the world upside down? When Jesus died, everybody thought that's the end of that, but it wasn't, because Jesus rose from the grave. And most of those same vagabond group of followers went with Jesus and saw him ascend into heaven. And then they went out, and my goodness, the world changed. That story is found in the book, The Beginning, that talks about how our faith began. You can get a copy by simply going to DinoPadronMinistries.com and hit the donate button there and order that book. It's a wonderful book, I think, that will help all of us to be thankful for what has happened with this whole idea of what Jesus did. And in the Great Commission, Jesus promised us, he said, "You must go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." One missiologist once said that Jerusalem is where you live, it's your home. And then there's Judea, which is that surrounding area, maybe your state. And then there's Samaria, and that's kind of like the states, the United States, if you live in America. And then the world, which means go out into the world. The Greek cosmos means mankind. Go out and reach the mankind, the world, with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are five places in Scripture where we are given what is called the Great Commission: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. And each of them are a reminder to basically do the same thing, take the message of the gospel. Yet we get so wrapped up in our worlds because we're busy people, a lot of things going on, a lot of things that are happening, and so we sometimes don't really go out and get the gospel to people like we should. Maybe this program today will be a real reminder to all of us as we stop and think about worldwide missions. Rick, it's so good to have you back on with us today, my friend. You're on here as a regular. And I know that when you stepped down from the pastorate, I don't think you thought you'd be going out to do worldwide missions, but isn't it interesting how God has led you that way? You do conferences and revivals and evangelism, all those other things, but you're involved in world missions. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it?
Yes. I've told the story before, when I was in Bible college, I was convicted at a missions conference for a full week about surrendering to missions. And I thought, God, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to live. I'm an American. I'm a country boy. I don't want to go to them. And finally I said, "But Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go wherever you want me to go." And he let me pastor for 35 plus, almost 40 years. And then giving me the opportunity through those years to do missions work, spent some time. We went to Romania. You remember that trip?
Yeah.
And then what an exciting time that was. And then, of course, when I had the opportunity to go to Myanmar, my heart was just open to that work. And it's not an easy work. It's a difficult thing to try to accomplish, but with God, all things are possible, and it's been a joy to work with you closely in this ministry that God has given us.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. I remember when you and I went to Romania, and that was just after, if you remember, the fall of Ceausescu, the leader there. And it was interesting. The pastors were now getting driver's licenses. And I tell you what, I held on for dear life with those guys driving. They weren't very good drivers, but I'll tell you what, they loved God. They had a great love for God and a thirst for God.
Yeah.
And that country has done very, very well. But those were some terrific days. We had some wonderful stories coming out of that place. And you went over, did a lot of preaching there. Dave Arnold was a part of that team. There was, I think, what, 9 or 10 guys maybe that went. And
Brother Dean Staton and I had a little village church that we preached at the whole week.
Yeah.
And he pastors in Buena Vista, Virginia, still. And we had saw no results. The people were fearful. It was right after the communists had been run out. And but on the last night, we saw 17 souls come to Christ. And it's been a highlight of my ministry life to remember that.
I remember that. We would meet back at the hotel, and we would kind of share what happened that night. And when you came back that last night, that was like a revival with us as well, what God did.
Yes,
his,
it was.
His
yes,
timing
was.
Is always him. Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, we had talked about, you know, sometimes we would change places that we went, or some did, and you offered us the opportunity to go somewhere else because we were discouraged. And we said, no, we love them, and we're going to go back there. And that night it just broke open. And then we met so many wonderful people, as you do on those fields. And remember Emil at a little lady's house who's probably in heaven today, just a godly lady. And those are tremendous blessings. But, you know, it was just ordinary preachers going to try to do something for God. And he did. Souls are in heaven now because of it.
Yeah. I remember, Rick, in the first journey I had over there, I went with Roy Hall. I forgot who else was in the van, but we went to a little town, and the town, the whole village came out to greet us. I thought there was a welcoming committee. We had rented, the people there had rented an auditorium for us to go in and speak at. Many of these people had not really heard the gospel at all. And when we got there, we knew there was something wrong because they were staring in without friendly faces to our van. And we were told that there were some religious leaders there who had drank too much alcohol, and they were pretty inebriated. And they put out an edict that if we went into that hall, that they would arrest us and put us in jail that night. And so we drove away, and we thought, well, you know, that's the end of that. The townspeople, I remember, turned against those religious leaders, and by the time we left Romania, they had already begun the start of a church there. And, you know, that kind of a story is like out of the book of Acts. It really is. And you know, your story you just told is like that. It's what God does on the mission field. Well, speaking of the mission field, Rick, and this is something you've become very, very ingrained in now, how has the pandemic affected world missions?
Well, it's affected it both negatively and positively. Negatively, the traditional way of American missionaries going to the field permanently and starting works and leading works, which is a wonderful thing. It was very much hampered, and many of the missionaries were sent home. Others were not able to get back into their country. And thankfully, in both cases, however, there were natives. And, you know, it's the people that get the work done, and the missionaries just kind of got it. So there was great negativity there and difficulty being forced to leave. But positively, fear is a great motivator, and it causes people to consider the brevity of their life. So when they realize they have someone in their family who dies of COVID, and there were thousands in other countries, and maybe even millions, I guess, all around the world, there were millions. And when that happens, you begin to think, where will I be when I die? And so it was an open door, wide open door for sharing the gospel. And we've gotten stories from missionaries from around the world that God used that to draw them and bring others to Christ. I'm thinking of one missionary in Bangladesh, and he was, this was before COVID, but he was concerned about his soul, and he kept reading in the Quran, looking for an answer, looking for peace, looking for a way of hope for salvation. And there was nothing there except a mention of Jesus somewhere or another. And he said, I've got to read more. And he found the Bible and the gospel story, and Jesus died for him, was buried and rose again. And the longer story made real short, he was saved gloriously, called to missions work. He's serving now among the Muslims in Bangladesh. And every day almost he sends me pictures of sharing the gospel, handing out pamphlets, witnessing to people, preaching in different places, just as an independent missionary called of God to share the gospel. And so the hearts of people are ready, even in this difficult situation.
That's an amazing story when you think of it, Rick. Reading the Quran, yeah, and then finding the name Jesus and going looking for Jesus. His name is Tiazo Morol. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, it's Tazul Morol or Morol, mm-hmm, and he's in Bangladesh. And our relationship, he's busy and I'm busy, and we haven't had a lot of communications, but we've talked about how we can partner together, and we're excited about some of the ways that we can do that in the current world, maybe using Zoom and other things. And I know you and I have talked about that as well.
Yeah, I have invitations right now to speak in India through Zoom to a number of pastors in different places. And at our next board meeting, we're going to talk about how we can do more of that in reaching people. It's a great opportunity to reach people like that. Rick, I think as we look at this kind of a situation, and since the pandemic, there's probably going to be changes as to how we do ministry. I know of a friend of mine, friend of yours, who just went overseas, because he has a lot of ministry where he's at, and you know, he has the shots. He got on an airplane, had to take the COVID test there, had to get it when he got off, had to get it when he was there again. Coming back, he had to have it. I think he had it four or five, maybe six times. So it's a different way to travel, and people are rethinking it. So I think it is opening up some of this technology as to how to reach people. Is that how you see it out there?
I surely do. I know there are numerous churches that, you know, if it had not been for Zoom, they'd become very accomplished in online ministry in America during this time. It's not ideal. It's not the best, but it is the way, and it may be the greater way around the world to reach people. You know, if we have contacts there to gather people on that side, and then we have the setup on our side, I could see us having evangelistic crusades in that way, and so on. So technology is certainly going to be a blessing if we use it for the glory of God.
Yeah, I think the stories of the William Careys, Adoniram Judsons, all of these stories that are great missionary stories are going to be retold in a different way with different names as we approach this generation which we're living in. It seems to me, as you're talking, Rick, that there are other ways to reach people. Obviously, we are church people. We believe you ought to go to church and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But, you know, illnesses, COVID issue, all these things bring a whole new dimension to us. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the future. We're listening in today to Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you. And Rick Ramsey is with us today, our international director, talking about world missions. We talked a lot about our ministry in Myanmar and other places that we're ministering. But today we're really talking more about the concept of the missionary world, the worldwide missions that is out there, many people who need Jesus Christ. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, The Beginning, it tells the story of how Christianity began. It's the story of that missionary movement in the book of Acts right to the end. It's the story of the Apostle Peter. It's the story of the Apostle Paul. It's the story of Barnabas. But it's more the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming and indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. If you want to get that copy of that book, it's over 300 pages, over 100 works are cited in it. Simply go to dinopadroneministries.com. That's DinoPedrone, dinopadroneministries.com. And you can order your book right there. Well, Rick, what can we do to reach these fearful people that are out there? What are some other things that we can do?
Well, you know, there seems to be an indifference. People are so center-focused now on their home, their life, their family, their church, and even many churches can get caught up in where they are right now and forget to see the main thing is the main thing. And it's always been about preaching the gospel and giving out the gospel and seeing people saved and baptizing people, while there are many other aspects of it. And so with that being as a danger, I think the church, a refocus, I know the Lord's always at work. John 15, you know, ye are the vine, we are the branches, he is the vine. He's purging the vine. He's doing a lot of that in the American church. And we need to get our focus toward world missions. And there might be a different way of doing it. I think the natives in these countries have the ability and there are opportunities to train them, so that when we're gone or when we're not able to be there, they're still carrying on the work rather than being dependent on us. So maybe we need to look at missions in a different way and find a different avenue to get the gospel around the world.
Yeah, and there is great financial needs out there, of course. And I think, Rick, what you said hits the nail on the head. We as Americans are so self-centered, and frankly, there's a need for that because we have bills to pay, we have mortgages to pay, we have cars that we got to pay for, and it's easy to get so enamored in the day-to-day of what we're doing, we forget the world. But the Great Commission in the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Synoptic Gospels, the first three, and then the book of John, which is the worldwide gospel, and the book of Acts, are very clear that we are to go out into all the world. And no one person can do that, but it seems to me that's the local church that God has raised up. The church was God's idea to send people into all the world. So there's this need of reaching people, as Rick has just spoken to us about. And I encourage each of you listening in today to be thinking about your part. Think about your part in your local church, your part in missions. Again, I think missions and all of it is being refocused. I think there are missiologists who are rethinking how we do this matter of bringing the gospel to the known world. And methods change so very quickly. They change regularly. And so we need to look at it from that standpoint. So, Rick, what do you see as a danger of living in America in relationship to the ministry?
Well, I think we all face that battle. I was thinking as you were talking about your testimony and your ministry, and you had a broad ministry through the college and then previous to that, large churches, a couple of blessed churches. And yet now here you are in your 70s, and you're still focused on the gospel, and not losing that focus is vital. And sometimes we are more free as we get older. A lot of older people maybe feel like they're, you know, they're done with ministry, and they may be changing their ministry or their way of ministry, but they many times they're the ones that have more funds, they have more free time, and so there's a concern for just getting lethargic. I fight it. We all fight it. The tendency just to relax, and we need to be on guard to realize as long as God gives us life, he gives us ministry.
Yeah, boy, that is so true. And God does want us to serve him and live for him, that's for sure. Rick, I remember, I got to tell you this story. Years ago, I was up in Glen Falls, New York, speaking at a Bible conference. It was a Sunday through a Wednesday, and on Tuesday, the church had a nice meal. I was walking up the stairwell to go to the service to speak, and there was an elderly man walking up, and I helped him along because he was having a struggle. And I said, "Is your wife here?" And he said, "No." He said, "She's in heaven." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry." He looked at me and he said, "What are you sorry about? She's in heaven." And so I got halfway up the steps, and I said, "Do you have any children?" And he said, "Yes, but they're all in heaven." And I guess it's natural, so I said again, "I'm sorry." And he kind of chewed me out this time and said, "What are you sorry about? They're all in heaven." It was one of those conversations going downhill all the way. And I got to the top of the steps, and so I said to him, "Do you have any relatives anywhere?" And he said, and I couldn't believe this. He said, they're all in heaven. All my relatives I know are all in heaven. I did not say I'm sorry again, but he told me this. He said, "At this church has become my family." And he says, "I love what this church does." And he talked about reaching people. He said, "Sometimes I even go to the youth group because I want people to know whose side I'm on here." And I asked the pastor about this fellow, and he was there for many, many years and such a blessing. And I think that's kind of the way we need to live out our lives, Rick. Whatever that man had, which I believe was the Spirit of God moving in him, is what we all need to have. Well, Rick, we always have you on here answering questions, but you're a wonderful preacher and teacher. I want you to take a few minutes today. And how much time do we have here, Maverick? About 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. And I want you to finish off our program today. I'll come on at the end and say a couple words with a thought that you have that you shared with me before we began in the Scriptures. Just go ahead and give us those thoughts from John 11.
Yes, I saw a quote, and I just saw it this morning, and it said, "God is never late. We're just impatient." And it caused me to think about this passage in John 11. And we all have burdens on our heart and needs in our lives. I talked to Brother Munn this morning, and they are struggling, and Brother Munn is in Myanmar and the ministry that we help there. And we all tend to get a little impatient. But I thought about this passage in John 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. And we know the story well. I won't read the whole story. But his sisters sent Jesus a message and said, "Lord, the one thou lovest is sick." And then verse 5 says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary. But when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. He waited. He didn't respond and drop everything and go to that place. And then when he went, his disciples said to him, "Lord, they're trying to kill you there." And he said, "We're going anyway." And then he told them, "Lazarus is dead." And verse 15, he said, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Now, that's an unusual thought. That God and Jesus would say, "I was glad that I did not keep him from dying." And then he said, "To the intent that you may believe, nevertheless, let's go to him." And of course, we know the rest of the story. He went and rose Lazarus from the grave. And I thought about this thought. When it seems God is late, don't be impatient. Don't doubt his love. The verses said Jesus loved Lazarus and Jesus loved Mary and Martha. And so when things are going awry in our lives, never doubt his love. Do trust his lordship. We're going to wait 2 days and go. That made no sense to anyone. No one on this earth it would have made sense to, but it made sense in heaven. And Jesus said, "We're going to wait." And some of us are in a waiting mode. I feel that way sometimes, and there's a sense in which we're all waiting for Jesus to come. Well, don't be impatient, but just stay faithful and watch and see what he does. Expect a miracle. You know, we often feel like that God is not a miracle-working God, but there's babies born every day and what miracles they are, and there's financial needs met every day. God is up to something always, and so let's look to him expectantly and just seeing what he might have for us. And then don't be surprised by his unusual work and then think that this can't be God or God doesn't care. But trust him and let him use us in his ministry, in his time, and in his will. God is never late. We are just impatient sometimes. And we need to learn to trust him and watch him and see what he does next.
Yeah, what a great truth that is. It kind of reminds me, Rick, of our good friend Pastor Munn from Myanmar when he came over here. He'd been waiting and waiting for somebody to partner with. And you told the story of how he was walking through the lobby of the college asking people who they were and so forth, looking for a partner. And here we're partnered with him now. But, you know, time is always in God's hands, which is so true. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. Thank you so much for listening in. You've been listening to Rick Ramsey, our international director, talking about what's happening overseas in World Missions today. And we have these ministries that we do have. We encourage you to go online and read about them at DinaPadronMinistries.com and get the information. Pray for us. Support us where you can. All the funds that you send in go directly to the place that you advocate it to go to. And we want to be a blessing to reaching people, especially these people that are going through some real heartaches in their life today. God bless you. Join us Monday through Friday this week for Life Change Today, where we take the Bible and look at what God says about the issues of the hour. God bless you.
Life Change Weekend is a listener-supported production of Dino Padron Ministries. To join with DPM's mission of helping individuals grow their faith, visit DinoPadronMinistries.org. And don't miss Life Change Today, Dr. Padron's weekday Bible study. Check local listings for details.